to see everyone here. It's amazing that you chose that song to lead into this today. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. The incarnation story. Now I could, give you the story of Christmas, but we don't have that much time. The Christmas story is very complex, and much of it is a diversion, especially today, away from the heart of Christmas. The incarnation, God became man so that he could be redeemed, so that we could be redeemed from our fallen state. As he promised, and to return to and fulfill the purposes of our creation, enjoying his love and presence. And that's what's ahead for us. Notice it says here that, and the government will be upon his shoulder. This was in Isaiah. We read this quite often at Christmas. I'm sure that when I was a child, I had to memorize it and say it maybe in front of the congregation, something we don't do as often as we used to, but it's there. I'm going to start. It's interesting that Christmas as a holiday was never commanded by our Lord. Now, he did say, and actually the one thing that he says is, do this in remembrance of me. Last week, we had communion, and communion is in many ways, you could call it a holiday, but yet it is something that the Lord commanded us, just like baptism. But Christmas is, and actually, in looking at it, the 25th of December, most people, or at least historically, they knew was not the date for the birth of Christ. And there were reasons why they chose this date, but they have more to do with missiology than they do anything else. Christmas trees didn't come around for about a millennium or more after that, when Christianity started moving into Europe. And actually, I didn't realize it until I was preparing this, that when Charles Spurgeon was preaching in the early 1800s, a lot of England, especially because of their Puritan roots and different things from the Reformation, did not celebrate Christmas at all. In fact, if you want to look at Spurgeon's Christmas hymns, or Christmas speeches, or they were incarnation ones, they were spread out, and he always did it throughout the year. And they would sing the hymns that we sing in Advent and Christmas throughout the year. But when you think about it, it truly is appropriate. Now, I'm going to start, before I pray. But there is one Jewish holiday that is not mentioned in the Old Testament, but is mentioned in the New. And that's being celebrated right now, Hanukkah. In the Bible, it's called the Feast of Dedication. And so I'm going to start with Psalm 121, because it's part of the Hallel, which is when they go up, but it's very appropriate for this time. When the Jews would go to Jerusalem, they would sing and say the psalms, or a set of psalms, on their way to to their feasts. And so, Lord, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Now, really, this psalm really speaks into why Jesus came as a man, which is what the incarnation is. Lord, I pray my words will be your words. And Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what you would have to say this morning. And Lord, we ask your blessing now upon this day and this time, because Christmas truly is a time when you should be celebrated. When it's done correctly, and when we've done, it is a way in which many people have come to know you, Lord. And so there's nothing wrong with Christmas except that we not remove the incarnation from it. You came as a man so that we could be saved and give purpose to why we remember you every time we take communion. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this time and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't always do this, but one of the things as we go through this is I want you to put yourself into this story. Because one of the things in the Christmas story, the people that are mentioned here are no different than us. They weren't necessarily special people other than they were willing and available and submitted to God's will at the time. And that's something that we need to look into ourselves and ask ourselves, am I willing and available to do the things that God would ask me to do? Like Mary. Now, he's not going to ask me to have a baby. And I'm going to leave that completely out there because he's not going to do that. But Mary and Joseph were very special people in the fact that they honored God in what they did. They were obedient. They were submitted to his will. Now, there are people in this story that were not submitted to God's will and were doing their own will. You can think of King Herod when that comes up. But that's true today also. So I do want you to be thinking of how willing and available am I to be submitted to what the Lord has. Now, God's purpose in the incarnation, I want that. Why the incarnation, God becoming man, was necessary. This says it right here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That goes right back to answering the promise that he gave to Adam and Eve as he took them out of Eden. And other promises made throughout this time. I also am going to, you're going to see, because one of the things that I do want you to know is that the prophecies that are fulfilled in his first coming, and some of them that are not yet fulfilled, like this one here, and the government will be upon his shoulders, are also, I tried to put those in here. And the one thing that I do want, especially in today's world, just like as always, we need hope. There certainly is a future, and it's bright. No matter how it looks at times, and the Bible does tell us that there's going to be trials and tribulations. Okay. Second verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And again, John just simply stating the incarnation in a different way. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." God includes and honors women like Mary and Elizabeth. I left her story out, but I just want to mention her because she also had a baby near this time. But their response, how do we respond when God places things in our lives? How do we respond to the things God places in our lives and the opportunities we have? The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Now here, he's reminding Mary of promises she most likely learned as a child. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary, this is from Matthew, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then her husband Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, had in mind of putting her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for which is conceived in her as of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." And men, are we willing to put away our pride and reputation on hold to obey God? Now, God doesn't always send an angel, but we have the Bible, which is something that they didn't necessarily have, and we also are post-resurrection. And so we also have the Holy Spirit stronger than what they had then. Holy Spirit was always present, but it's there. Are we willing to suffer a loss? May this, and it may even hurt our business. Have to imagine what this was, a Joseph of Carpenter, and all of a sudden his reputation's been stained. Did that affect his business? I mean, these are things that we don't always think about when we read this story, but it's there. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through his prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." All this was done, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet from Isaiah. And he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel." Now sometimes, I mean, this is speaking of the kings of Israel and the history of Israel, but how often do you suppose might hear this? Hear now, church. Is it a small thing that you weary man? But will you weary God also? I mean, we have to take this into our heart too. If we lead the history, we need to know that there's times when we have to weary God. Just simply because, well, we're there. But this prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she brought her forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now that's something, man, if you think about it, Joseph honored both God and his wife, Mary. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Never think that somehow that someone doesn't want to include you that in his plans, that God doesn't want to include you in his plans." Shepherds were considered the lowliest, but yet he put them right there in the light. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. From Micah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth from of old, from everlasting. Now, it's not surprising that the Jews of that day, the Pharisees and so forth, were looking for a ruler. But we also know that his rule is yet to come. We know it, but they had to miss it so that we could be grafted in and many could come to know the Lord. God's will goes far beyond ours. Suddenly the angel, joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the angels said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." That's wonderful to know that God is pleased. The shepherds respond to the good news. Do we? What's our response? They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Do I share the good news I've been given? Do we? Do we keep these things in our heart and think about them? It's something to ponder. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the Christ, the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And this was before the resurrection and before Jesus left so the Holy Spirit could come. Am I that responsive to the Holy Spirit? Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which had been spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, though the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, this prophecy of Simeon is very deep. And just think about how it affects us. The fall and the rising of many in Israel. I mean, how many fell one way, and then you can think of in many ways, this also, think of Paul, who rose out of this, but yet had to really have quite an experience in order to bring us much of the New Testament. But he was one that rose in Israel. It's interesting here, and I don't want to put it there, but it's something that we need to think about, is how much anti-Semitism is because of the church's response . We're certainly not responsible for all of it, but yet we need to be aware that the church, and again, and our role in it, we are here to serve God and honor him and his people. And because he's included us with his people. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow, about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. One of the things, just to remind you, if you fast and pray, which I know many of you do, don't grow weary. 84 years, can you imagine? But she was faithful. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd his people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them about the time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Now notice he's not referred to as a baby here. He is referred to as a young child. And, we know that they weren't there at the manger at the time, but they did come, and they were responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading them. When we heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till they came, and it stood over the young child, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And then they had opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Now, we don't know a lot of this history. We don't know what nationality these people were, but it is just simply the Lord drawing people together as he's continued to do. Because remember, his goal is for every tribe and nation to be part. And this is just part of the beginning and emphasis to that also in this story. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word that Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and he took the young child, his mother, by night and departed for Egypt. And there, until the death of Herod, it might be fulfilled, which God had spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. From Hosea, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Again, just these prophecies in the Old Testament are real and they're there. The Old Testament is just as valid today and just reaffirming and speaks to today as much as it did to the Jesus time. When Herod saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what Jeremiah the prophet saying. Now, one of the things right here, there's plenty of examples of people who are not doing their own will instead of God's will. And each one of us, if we really seriously look at it, there are times in our lives when we have not been obedient to God. And Herod had his own agenda, and sometimes we have our own too. So we want to keep in mind that we have to help each other to stay here. Herod had, of anyone, had just as much opportunity. He even said it at the beginning that he wanted to worship the Lord. But we want to be careful and recognize in ourselves that we also can be there. A voice heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because there are no more. An exact quote from Jeremiah 31:15. Now, one of the things when we look at this, God is not unaware of the results of following our own selfish will. Now, we can take a positive take from this. If we've drifted away and we return to the Lord, God knows where we're at. He knew where Herod was at also with this. And we want to just remind ourselves, and those, there are times, and we need to be there for people that go away. Now, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought out the young child's life are dead." Then he arose and he took the child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled as it was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." From Isaiah. Nevertheless, the gloom is not to be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali is Galilee in Jesus' time. Nazareth is in the land of Zebulun, although it wasn't there. Now, there is a map here, and you can't see it, but if you see that little kind of drop-shaped lake up there, that's the Sea of Galilee, or Gennesaret sometimes, and that Galilee is over there. But if you look back in when the Israelites, that is the land of Zebulun. Now, it's interesting that this prophecy was before the fall of the northern kingdom, which they just disappeared. They never returned from Assyria when they were conquered by Assyria. Now, many of the tribes that lived there were invited into the southern kingdom, but that's another story, and many did come. So all 12 tribes were represented in the land of Judah to the south. But in this prophecy, it also refers to the land of the Gentiles. At the time the prophecy was written, it was the land of Israel. It did later become, and so forth. But again, I know you can't quite see that, but it's interesting, these prophecies. Don't make light of these prophecies. It's interesting that this is here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came, this is going back to John chapter 1. This man came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. A voice was heard. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I've already done that one. Sorry. Let's go to this page. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, this many that have received him, look around. We're part of that many. And if you're not part of that many, become part of that many. Speak to someone. Because this is the reason why God became man, is that so we could become again the children of God he intended us to be. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior with so many names? One for each time that you might have that need. Do you need peace? Do you need to be filled with wonder? Do you need a counselor? You have one. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is yet to come. Lord, we just ask your blessing now upon this congregation, and Lord, for the plans that you have, that we would truly be in your will and listening to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would be kind and gracious to one another and lift each other up during this time, and lift up this community and the surrounding areas, Lord, that there could be a harvest. Pray this in Jesus' name.